This year, 2015, is a very special year, a milestone, I would say, for development. We are concluding the Millennium Development Goals era, and we can say that we have significant progress, especially very important progress on reducing extreme poverty and hunger. Out of the 129 developing countries monitored by FAO, 73 achieved the MDG 1 target of halving the prevalence of undernourished by this year, 2015. But we still have 800 million people that remain hungry. This is unacceptable. FAO already has elevated its goal from reducing to eliminating hunger in 2013 conference. Now, 2 years after, this zero hunger commitment has become part of the 2030 development agenda as SDG 2. And I'll quote, to end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. I would personally like to add inclusive rural development, because as you know, around 80% of the poor live in rural areas in developing countries. And not all people that lived in rural areas work in agriculture. In fact, most of the people nowadays that live in rural areas work in different sectors of activities, not only on agriculture. In any case, we have this 2013 agenda in front of us, and it is a huge challenge for all the countries. This is not only for the developed countries, as used to be the Millennium Development Goals. This is for all of us, all the world. This is a universal agenda. I think that we need to fulfill this agenda that has many bold goals, like those that I mentioned, eradicate hunger and extreme poverty. We need more political commitment, and we need more funds. Additional fund is needed. In that order, in my opinion, if you really have political commitment, we'll find more money to fund the programs and projects that we need to achieve this 17 goals of the 2030 development agenda. We also, this goal two, add a very important issue that is the nutrition issue. We need not only food, we need healthy food to promote healthy lives. And we need a comprehensive approach to food and nutrition security. That's exactly what SOFA looks this year. Using social protection to break the rural poverty cycle. As we know, most of the agriculture, the poor work live in rural areas, and many of them works in agriculture. It's difficult to understand, but among the hungry are family farmers, subsistence farmers that cannot even produce enough for their survival. For this reason, investing in agriculture in rural areas, and especially in family farmers and small-scale production, is effective at driving down rates of rural hunger and poverty. Poor families are also extremely vulnerable to external shocks, such as floods, pests, drought, and price volatility. With the climate change, the shocks happen year after year. They eat away the capacity of rural poor families to cope with it. We can even call this new normality, the issue that we have been seeing, those external shocks repeat year after year. A good example, I just met the former ambassador of Mexico, Don Raul Cabañas, that is returning to Mexico to an important position in the government. And we were discussing about the Corredor Seco de Central America. It goes from Nicaragua to El Salvador, that used to have a draw even 7 years, 3 years. Now it's year after year, with a huge impact on the migration in the Central America. Social protection offers the possibility for poor families to have a kind of a buffer to protect them from those external shocks. And it becomes more and more important with the climate change impacts. Social protection also can lead to more investment in the health of family and the education of the children. Farm families can keep their children in school instead of working the land, with positive implication for future productivity and employability. Also, positive impacts on children and maternal welfare are enhanced when programs are targeted at women. This is especially important because maternal and child nutrition perpetuate poverty from generation to generation. Let me conclude saying that cash transfer, when associated to agriculture policies and rural development policies, can be a very effective way to deal with rural poverty. It also increases the demand of local communities. You know that not all villages can be fortunate to have a mine or a factory or a refinery, oil refinery or something to promote local development. Most of small village only have the land to use as agriculture or livestock production. So if you could stimulate the consumption, the demand of those products, you promote a virtuous cycle of growth. Demand-led development is one of the possibilities that is driven by social protection schemes. Let me end saying that the SOFA found that still very few combinations bringing together social protection and agriculture policies. What means that there's a room for increase them. And that's what we want with this SOFA, promote this possibility. We have a few countries that were selected. I would like to highlight two of them. Brazil, that I was personally involved in this process. And we came to a program that brings together school meal programs and local purchases from family farmers. The fact that we can buy locally in the surroundings of the school from fruits, vegetables, milk, eggs, and so on, promote family farmer in those villages and also provide very healthy and good food for the schools and the children in the schools. And we saw in a few months, after implementing the programs, and we are doing that in many countries in Latin America now, and also in Africa, that the children wants to come to the school, stimulated by those meals. And the performance also improves a lot. We have also a good example in the case of Somalia, where we get together with the Rome-based agents, World Food Program and IFAD, to give a voucher of cash for work in 2013. We pulled Somalia out of famine in less than a year. What's a record in those situations? So I think these are two good examples that are reported in the SOFA. You will find others examples there also reported. And I would like to stimulate you to read it. I know that it's a bold goal to point to eradicate hunger and extreme poverty. But we have the conditions to do it. We already produce enough food for all. We throw out one third of the all food we produce. So we can do it. We can be the first zero hunger generation. Thank you for your attention.